And so also the angel of the resurrection said to the woman, "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." 3. And the apostle said, "We preach Christ crucified." 4. For there are many Christs and many Jesuses, but one crucified. He does not say spirit but crucified. It behoves us, then, to worship the sign of Christ. 5. For wherever the sign may be, there also will he be. But it does not behove us to worship the material of which the image of the cross is composed, even though it be gold or precious stones, after it is destroyed. If that should happen, everything, therefore, that is dedicated to God we worship, conferring the adoration on him. The tree of life which was planted by God in paradise prefigured this precious cross. 81:4. Since death was by a tree, it was fitting that life and resurrection should be bestowed by a tree. 6. Jacob, when he worshipped the top of Joseph's staff, was the first to image the cross, and when he blessed his sons with crossed hands. 7. He made most clearly the sign of the cross. Likewise. 8. Also did Moses' rod, when it smote the sea in the figure of the cross, and saved Israel, while it overwhelmed Pharaoh, in the depths. Likewise also the hand stretched out crosswise, and rooting Amalek, and the bitter water made sweet by a tree, and the rock rent, and pouring forth streams of water. 9. And the rod, that meant for Aaron the dignity of the high priesthood. 1. And the serpent lifted in triumph on a tree, as though it were dead too. The tree bringing salvation to those who in faith saw their enemy dead, just as Christ was nailed to the tree in the flesh of sin which yet knew no sin. 3. The mighty Moses cried. 4. You will see your life hanging on the tree, before your eyes, and Isaiah likewise, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a faithless and rebellious people. 5. But may we who worship the 6, obtain a part in Christ the crucified. Amen. Chapter 12. Concerning worship towards the east. It is not without reason or by chance that we worship towards the east, but seeing that we are composed of a visible and an invisible nature, that is to say, of a nature partly of spirit, and partly of sense, we render also a twofold worship to the Creator just as we sing both with our spirit and our bodily lips, and are baptized with both water and spirit, and are united with the Lord in a twofold manner, being sharers in the mysteries and in the grace of the Spirit. Since, therefore, God 7 is spiritual light 8, and Christ is called in the Scriptures Son of Righteousness 1, and Dayspring 2, the east is the direction that must be assigned to his worship, for everything good must be assigned to him from whom every good thing arises. Indeed the divine David also says, "Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth, O sing praises unto the Lord, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens," towards the east. 3. Moreover the scripture also says, "And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man, whom he had formed." 4. And when he had transgressed his command he expelled him, and made him to dwell over against the delights of paradises. 5. Which clearly is the west. So, then, we worship God seeking, and striving after our old fatherland. Moreover the tent of Moses 6, had its veil and mercy seat 7, towards the east. Also the tribe of Judah as the most precious pitch their camp on the east 8. Also in the celebrated temple of Solomon the gate of the Lord was placed eastward. Moreover Christ, when he hung on the cross, had his face turned towards the west, and so we worship, striving after him, and when he was received again into heaven he was borne towards the east, and thus his apostles worship him, and thus he will come again in the way in which they beheld him going towards heaven 9. As the Lord himself said, "As the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth 1, even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Greek 2. So, then, in expectation of his coming we worship towards the east, but this tradition of the apostles is unwritten, for much that has been handed down to us by tradition is unwritten. 3. Chapter 13. Concerning the holy and immaculate mysteries of the Lord. God 4. Who is good and altogether good and more than good, who is goodness throughout, by reason of the exceeding riches of his goodness did not suffer himself, that is his nature, only to be good, with no other to participate therein, but because of this he made first the spiritual and heavenly powers, next the visible and sensible universe, next man with his spiritual and sentient nature, all things, therefore, which he made, share in his goodness in respect of their existence, for he himself is existence to all. Since all things that are in him. 5. Not only because it was he that brought them out of nothing into being, but because his energy preserves and maintains all that he made, and in especial the living creatures, for both in that they exist and in that they too enjoy life they share in his goodness. But in truth those of them that have reason have a still greater share in that, both because of what has been already said, and also because of the very reason which they possess, for they are somehow more dearly akin to him, even though he is incomparably higher than they. Man, however, being endowed with reason and free will, received the power of continuous union with God through his own choice, if indeed he should abide in goodness, that is in obedience to his Maker. Since, however, he transgressed the command of his Creator, and became liable to death and corruption, the Creator and Maker of our race, because of his bowels of compassion, took on our likeness, becoming man, in all things, but without sin, and was united to our nature. 6. For since he bestowed on us his own image and his own spirit, and we did not keep them safe, he took himself a share in our poor and weak nature, in order that he might cleanse us, and make us incorruptible, and establish us once more as partakers of his divinity. For it was fitting that not only the first fruits of our nature should partake in the higher good, but every man who wished it, and that a second birth should take place, and that the nourishment should be new and suitable to the birth, and thus the measure of perfection be attained, through his birth, that is, his incarnation, and baptism and passion and resurrection. He delivered our nature from the sin of our first parent and death and corruption, and became the first fruits of the resurrection, and made himself the way and image and pattern, in order that we, too, following in his footsteps, may become by adoption what he is himself by nature. 7. Sons and heirs of God, and joint heirs with him. 8. He gave us therefore, as I said, a second birth in order that, just as we, who are born of Adam, are in his image, and are the heirs of the curse and corruption, so also being born of him we may be in his likeness and heirs. 9. Of his incorruption and blessing and glory. Now seeing that this Adam is spiritual, it was meet that both the birth and likewise the food should be spiritual too. But since we are of a double and compound nature, it is meet that both the birth should be double, and likewise the food compound. We were therefore given a birth by water and spirit, I mean, by the holy baptism. 1. And the food is the very bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven 2. For when he was about to take on himself a voluntary death for our sakes, on the night on which he gave himself up, he laid a new covenant on his holy disciples and apostles, and through them on all who believe on him, in the upper chamber, then, of holy and illustrious Sion, after he had eaten the ancient Passover with his disciples, and had fulfilled the ancient covenant, he washed his disciples' feet 3, in token of the holy baptism. Then having broken bread he gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you for the remission of sins 4. Likewise also he took the cup of wine and water, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do ye in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the death of the Son of Man, and confess his resurrection, until he come 5. If then the word of God is quick, and energizing 6, and the Lord did all, that he will 7, if he said, Let there be light, and there was light, let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament 8, if the heavens were established by the word of the Lord, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth 9, if the heaven, and the earth, water, and fire and air, and the whole glory of these, and, in sooth, this most noble creature, man, were perfected by the word of the Lord, if God the word of his own will became man, and the pure and undefiled blood of the holy and ever-virginal one made his flesh, without the aid of seed 1, can he not then make the bread his body, and the wine and water his blood? He said in the beginning, Let the earth bring forth grass 2, and even until this present day, when the rain comes it brings forth its proper fruits, urged on and strengthened by the divine command. God said, This is my body, and this is my blood, and this do ye in remembrance of me. And so it is at his omnipotent command, until he come, for it was in this sense, that he said until he come, and the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit becomes through the invocation the rain to this new tillage 3. For just as God made all that he made by the energy of the Holy Spirit, so also now the energy of the 83 Spirit performs those things that are supernatural, and which it is not possible to comprehend unless by faith alone. How shall this be, said the Holy Virgin, seeing and know not a man? And the archangel Gabriel answered her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee 4. And now you ask, how the bread became Christ's body, and the wine and water Christ's blood. And I say unto thee, the Holy Spirit is present, and does those things which surpass reason and thought. Further, bread and wine are employed for God knoweth man's infirmity, for in general man turns away discontentedly from what is not well-worn by custom. And so with his usual indulgence he performs his supernatural works through familiar objects, and just, as, in the case of baptism, since it is man's custom to wash himself with water, and anoint himself with oil, he connected the grace of the Spirit with the oil and the water, and made it the water of regeneration. In like manner, since it is man's custom to eat and to drink water and wine, 6, he connected his divinity with these and made them his body and blood in order that we may rise to what is supernatural through what is familiar and natural. The body which is born of the Holy Virgin is in truth body united with divinity, not that the body which was received up into the heavens descends, but that the bread itself and the wine are changed into God's body and blood. 7. But if you inquire how this happens, it is enough for you to learn that it was through the Holy Spirit, just as the Lord took on himself flesh that subsisted in him, and was born of the Holy Mother of God, through the Spirit, and we know nothing further save that the Word of God is true and energizes, and is omnipotent, but the manner of this cannot be searched out. 8. But one can put it well of us, that just as in nature the bread by the eating, and the wine, and the water by the drinking are changed into the body and blood of the eater and drinker, and do not 9 become a different body from the former one, so the bread of the table 1 and the wine and water are supernaturally changed by the invocation and presence of the Holy Spirit into the body and blood of Christ, and are not 2 but 1 2 and the same. Wherefore, to those who partake worthily with faith, it is for the remission of sins and for life everlasting and for the safeguarding of soul and body, but to those who partake unworthily without faith, it is for chastisement and punishment, just as also the death of the Lord became to those who believe life and incorruption for the enjoyment of eternal blessedness, while to those who do not believe, and to the murderers of the Lord it is for everlasting chastisement and punishment. The bread and the wine are not merely figures of the body and blood of Christ, God forbid, but the deified body of the Lord itself, for the Lord has said, "This is my body," not, "This is a figure of my body," and, "My blood," not, "A figure of my blood." And on a previous occasion he had said to the Jews, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And again, "He that eateth me shall live." 3:4. Wherefore, with all fear and a pure conscience, and certain faith, let us draw near, and it will assuredly be to us, as we believe, doubting nothing. Let us pay homage to it in all purity both of soul and body, for it is twofold. Let us draw near to it with an ardent desire, and with our hands held in the form of the cross, as let us receive the body of the crucified one, and let us apply our eyes and lips and brows, and partake of the divine coal, in order that the fire of the longing that is in us, with the additional heat derived from the coal, may utterly consume our sense and illumine our hearts, and that we may be inflamed and deified by the participation in the divine fire. Isaiah saw the coal. 6. But coal is not plain wood, but wood united with fire. In like manner also the bread of the communion. 7. Is not plain bread, but bread united with divinity. But a body which is united with divinity is not one nature, but has one nature belonging to the body, and another belonging to the divinity that is united to it, so that the compound is not one nature, but two. With bread and wine Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, received Abraham on his return from the slaughter of the Gentiles. 9. That table pre-imaged this mystical table, just as that priest was a type and image of Christ, the true High Priest 1. For thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek 2. Of this 84 bread the showbread was an image 3. This surely is that pure and bloodless sacrifice which the Lord, through the prophet, said, is offered to him, from the rising to the setting of the sun 4. The body and blood of Christ are making for the support of our soul and body, without being consumed or suffering corruption, not making for the draft, God forbid, but for our being and preservation, a protection against all kinds of injury, a purging from all uncleanness. Should one receive base gold, they purify it by the critical burning, lest in the future we be condemned with this world. They purify from diseases and all kinds of calamities, according to the words of the divine apostles 5:4. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This too is what he says, so that he that partaketh of the body and blood of Christ unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. 6. Being purified by this, we are united to the body of Christ, and to His Spirit, and become the body of Christ. This bread is the first fruit 7 of the future bread, which is Greek epiosios Greek, that is, necessary for existence, for the word Greek epiosion Greek signifies either the future, that is him who is for a future age, or else him of whom we partake for the preservation of our essence. Whether then it is in this sense, or that, it is fitting to speak so of the Lord's body, for the Lord's flesh is life-giving spirit, because it was conceived of the life-giving spirit, for what is born of the spirit is spirit. But I do not say this to take away the nature of the body, but I wish to make clear its life-giving and divine power. 8. But if some persons called the bread and the wine antitypes 9 of the body and blood of the Lord, as did the divinely inspired Basil, they said so not after the consecration, but before the consecration, so calling the offering itself. Participation is spoken of, for through it we partake of the divinity of Jesus. Communion, too, is spoken of, and it is an actual communion, because through it we have communion with Christ and share in His flesh and His divinity. Yea, we have communion, and are united with one another through it, for since we partake of one bread, we all become one body of Christ, and one blood, and members one of another, being of one body with Christ. With all our strength, therefore, let us beware lest we receive communion from or grant it to heretics. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, saith the Lord, neither cast ye your pearls before swine 1, lest we become partakers in their dishonor and condemnation. For if Trojan is in truth with Christ, and with one another, we are assuredly voluntarily united also with all those who partake with us, for this union is effected voluntarily, and not against our inclination. For we are all one body because we partake of the one bread, as the divine apostle says too. Further, antitypes of future things are spoken of, not as though they were not in reality Christ's body and blood, but that now through them we partake of Christ's divinity, while then we shall partake mentally 3, through the vision alone. Chapter 14. Concerning our Lord's genealogy, and concerning the Holy Mother of God 4. Concerning the holy and much lauded ever Virgin 1, Mary, the Mother of God, we have said something in the preceding chapters, bringing forward what was most opportune, viz. That strictly and truly she is, and is called the Mother of God. Now let us fill up the blanks. For she being preordained by the eternal prescient counsel of God, and imaged forth, and proclaimed in diverse images and discourses of the prophets through the Holy Spirit, sprang at the predetermined time from the root of David, according to the promises that were made to him. For the Lord hath sworn, he saith in truth to David, he will not turn from it, of the fruit of my body will I set upon thy throne 5. And again, once have I sworn by my holiness, that I will not lay unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne, as the sun before me. It shall be established forever, as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven 6. And Isaiah says, and there shall come out a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root 7. But that Joseph is descended from the tribe of David is expressly demonstrated by Matthew and Luke, the most holy evangelists. But Matthew derives Joseph from David through Solomon, while Luke does so through Nathan, while over the Holy Virgin's origin both pass in silence. One ought to remember that it was not the custom of the Hebrews, nor of the divine scripture, to give genealogies of women, and 85 the law was to prevent one tribe seeking wives from another 8, and so, since Joseph was descended from the tribe of David, and was a just man for this the divine gospel testifies, he would not have espoused the Holy Virgin contrary to the law, he would not have taken her unless she had been of the same tribe 8a, it was sufficient, therefore, to demonstrate the descent of Joseph. One ought also to observe 9, this, that the law was that when a man died without seed, this man's brother should take to wife the wife of the dead man, and raise up seed to his brother 1, the offspring, therefore, belonged by nature to the second, that is, to him that begat it, but by law to the dead. Born then of the line of Nathan, the son of David, Levi begat Melchitu, and Panther begat Barpanther, so called, this Barpanther begat Joachim begat the Holy Mother of God 3-4. And of the line of Solomon, the son of David, Mathan had wife 5, of whom he begat Jacob. Now on the death of Mathan, Melchi, of the tribe of Nathan, the son of Levi and brother of Panther, married the wife of Mathan, Jacob's mother, of whom he begat Heli. Therefore Jacob and Hel became brothers on Tile mother's side, Jacob being of the tribe of Solomon and Heli, of the tribe of Nathan, Then Heli of the tribe of Nathan died childless, and Jacob his brother, of the tribe of Solomon, took his wife, and raised up seed to his brother, and begat Joseph. Joseph, therefore, is by nature the son of Jacob, of the line of Solomon, but by law he is the son of Heli, of the line of Nathan. Joachim then 6, took to wife that revered and praiseworthy woman, Anna. But just as the earlier Anna 7, who was barren, bore Samuel by prayer, and by promise, so also this Anna by supplication and promise from God bare the mother of God in order, that she might not even in this be behind the matrons of fame 8. Accordingly it was grace, for this is the interpretation of Anna, that bore the lady, for she became truly the lady of all created things in becoming the mother of the Creator. Further, Joachim 9, was born in the house of the Prebatical One, and was brought up to the temple, then planted in the house of God, and increased by the Spirit, like a fruitful olive tree. She became the home of every virtue, turning her mind away from every secular and carnal desire, and thus keeping her soul as well as her hotly virginal, as was meet for her, who was to receive God into her bosom. For as he is holy, he finds rest among the holy too. Thus, therefore, she strove after holiness, and was declared a holy and wonderful temple fit for the Most High God. Moreover, since the enemy of our salvation was keeping a watchful eye on virgins, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, who said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, being interpreted, God with us 3, in order that he who taketh the wise in their own craftiness 4, may deceive him who always glorieth in his wisdom. The maiden is given in marriage to Joseph by the priests, a new book to him who is versed in letters 5, but the marriage was both the protection of the virgin and the delusion of him who was keeping a watchful eye on virgins. But when the fullness of time was come, the messenger of the Lord was sent to her with the good news of our Lord's conception, and thus she conceived the Son of God, the hypostatic power of the Father, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men 6, that is to say, by connection and seed, but by the good pleasure of the Father and company operation of the Holy Spirit. She ministered to the Creator in that he was created, to the Fashioner in that he was fashioned, and to the Son of God and God in that he was made flesh, and became man from her pure and immaculate flesh and blood, satisfying the debt of the first mother. For just as the latter was formed from Adam without connection, so also did the former bring forth a new Adam, who was brought forth in accordance with the laws of parturition, and above the nature of generation. For he who was of the Father, yet without mother, was born of woman, without a father's cooperation, and so far as he was born of woman, his birth was in accordance with the laws of parturition, while so far as he had no father, his birth was above the nature of generation, and in that it was at the usual time, for he was born on the completion of the 9th month, when the 10th was just beginning, his birth was in accordance with the laws of parturition, while in that it was painless it was above the laws of generation. For, as pleasure did not precede deity 6 it, pain did not follow it, according to the prophet, who says, Before she travailed, she brought forth, and again, before her pain came she was delivered of a man-child 7, the Son of God incarnate, therefore, was born of her, not a divinely inspired 8, man but God incarnate, not a prophet anointed with energy, but by the presence of the anointing one in his completeness, so that the anointer became man, and the anointed God, not by a change of nature, but by union in subsistence, for the anointer and the anointed were one, and the same, anointing in the capacity of God himself as man. Must there not therefore be a mother of God, who bore God incarnate? Assuredly she who played the part of the Creator as servant and mother is in all strictness and truth and reality God as mother and lady and queen, over all created things. But just as he who was conceived kept her, who conceived still virgin, in like manner also he, who was born preserved her virginity intact, only passing through her and keeping her closed 9. The conception, indeed, was through the sense of hearing, but the birth through the usual path by which children come, although some tell tales of his birth through the side of the Mother of God, for it was not impossible for him to have come by this gate, without entering her seal in any way. The ever-virgin one thus remains even after the birth still virgin, having never at any time up till death consorted with a man. For although it is written, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son 1, yet note that he who is first begotten is firstborn even if he is only begotten. For the word firstborn means that he was born first, but does not at all suggest the birth of others, and the word till signifies the limit of the appointed time, but does not exclude the time thereafter. For the Lord says, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world too, not meaning thereby that he will be separated from us after the completion of the age. The divine apostle, indeed, says, And so shall we ever be with the Lord 3, meaning, after the general resurrection. For could it be possible that she, who had borne God, and from experience of the subsequent events had come to know the miracle, should receive the embrace of a man? God forbid. It is not the part of a chaste mind to think such thoughts, far less to commit such acts. But this blessed woman, who was deemed worthy of gifts that are supernatural, suffered those pains which she escaped at the birth in the hour of the Passion, enduring from motherly sympathy the rending of the bowels, and when she beheld him, whom she knew to be God, by the manner of his generation, killed as a malefactor, her thoughts pierced her as a sword. And this is the meaning of this verse, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also 4:5, but the joy of the resurrection transforms the pain, proclaiming him, who died in the flesh, to be God. Chapter 15. Concerning the honor due to the saints and their remains. To the saints honor must be paid as friends of Christ, as sons and heirs of God. In the words of John the theologian and evangelist, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God 6. So that they are no longer servants, but sons, and if sons, also heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ 7. And the Lord, in the Holy Gospels, says to his apostles, Ye are my friends 8. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth 9. And further, if the Creator and Lord of all things is called also King of kings and Lord of lords 1, and God of gods, surely also the saints are gods, and lords and kings. For of these God is, and is called God and Lord and King. For I am the God of Abraham, he said to Moses, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob 2, and God made Moses a God to Pharaoh 3. Now I mean gods, and kings, and lords not in nature, but as rulers and masters of their passions, and as preserving a truthful likeness to the divine image according to which they were made. For the image of a king is also called king, and as being united to God, of their own free will, and receiving him, as an indweller and becoming by grace through participation with him what he is himself by nature. Surely, then, the worshippers and friends and sons of God are to be held in honor, for the honor shown to the most thoughtful of fellow servants is a proof of good feeling towards the common master 4. These are made treasuries, and pure habitations of God, for I will dwell in them, 87 said God, and walk in them, and I will be their God 5. The divine scripture likewise saith that the souls of the just are in God's hand 6, and death cannot lay hold of them, for death is rather the sleep of the saints than their death, for they travailed in this life and shall to the end 7, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints 8. What then is more precious than to be in the hand of God? For God is life and light, and those who are in God's hand are in life and light. Further, that God dwelt even in their bodies in spiritual wise 8. The apostle tells us, saying, Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? 9. And the Lord is that Spirit 1, and if any one destroy the temple of God, him will God destroy too. Surely, then, we must ascribe honor to the living temples of God, the living tabernacles of God. These while they lived stood with confidence before God. The Master Christ made the remains of the saints to be fountains of salvation to us, pouring forth manifold blessings, and abounding in oil of sweet fragrance, and let no one disbelieve this 3, for if water burst in the desert from the steep and solid rock at God's will 4, and from the jawbone of an ass to quench Samson's thirst 5, is it incredible that fragrant oil should burst forth from the martyr's remains? By no means, at least to those who know the power of God, and the honor which he accords his saints. In the law every one who toucheth a dead body was considered impure 6, but these are not dead, for from the time when he that is himself life, and the author of life was reckoned among the dead, we do not call those dead who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and in faith on him, for how could a dead body work miracles? How, therefore, are demons driven off by them, diseases dispelled, sick persons made well, the blind restored to sight, lepers purified, temptations and troubles overcome, and how does every good gift from the Father of Light 7 come down through them to those who pray with sure faith? How much labor would you not undergo to find a patron to introduce you to a mortal king, and speak to him on your behalf? Are not those, then, worthy of honor, who are the patrons of the whole race, and make intercession to God, for us?